Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? Are we live? Are we good?
We're live. We're good.
All right, cool. Welcome to Clocks Running, the number one undisputed podcast for flag football in the world. Put your arm down, Stone Cold. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Stone Cold Ant.
And Stone Cold Ant. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? Sorry, we decided to take a book out of Tambo time. We wanted to do 7:30-ish. Since they were rocking our shirts earlier this week on their they are the number third ranked podcast
in New Hampshire. Yeah, those guys rock, man.
Yeah, I still think it's so amazing that they have a betting line for their weekly games.
That's awesome. I think that number they put on the screen is like actually like the gambling helpline, like that you're supposed to call, like if you have a problem, like you know how it like pops up on like Prize Picks, probably help with gambling helpline.
So, yeah, you've tried to call it. That's why you know that.
Well, I called it twice and got like sent a voicemail. I think John just has my number saved though. So shout out Steve. he would have answered. John would.
So there we go. I see us on Instagram. People are joining. What up? I see Crash Outs, New Dynasty, whatever they want to call themselves these days. They're in here. We got people joining. So yeah. Hit the chat. Let's get this show started, man. Do you want to introduce our guest tonight?
Of course. Most people know her from the DMV area. She's, 5'2". You know, nothing but sass. I'm just kidding. This is probably one of the nicest flag players ever. Please welcome Joe to the show.
Hey, everybody. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I like Ant. That's your new nickname, right? That's what we're going with? That's what
Stone
we're
Stone Cold Ant. I think that's great. as long as he keeps the Mr. Clean look, I think we have to.
I don't know. I'm kind of bringing it back a little bit. I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
You're left with no hat now. You got to go no
yeah.
hat.
Yep, that's it.
There we go. Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you watch the show. We see you checking out the live, so we appreciate that. As we do with every new guest, we like to have you share your origin story. You are a superhero in the flag game, so tell us what brought you into flag and what brought you to this point today.
So the origin story, we'll just start, I guess, with like the date. I was a freshman in college at the University of Maryland. So I started playing 2012. Eight women's contact. Can you believe that? That was the only thing at the time available. Prior to that, I played rugby. Then my mom was like, pick a different sport because your brother played. He got hurt. Let's just do something else. And I was like, okay. And my cousin texted me and she was like, show up here Sunday morning. And I'm like, 8 a.m. Sunday morning. Okay. So I show up with my cleats and like, lo and behold, there's like 30 girls there doing Oklahoma's Sunday morning. And I'm like, okay.
Oklahoma's your flag is crazy.
And then those people like came, my whole family, friend group, whatever. And then it became like, Joe, now you're going to play this position. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I was like, well, I don't have anything else to do Sunday morning. So sure, why not? So my college career turned into like flag football all year round. And then I started traveling PCB, that tournament at Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only played one format. Yeah, I only played one format there. Two. I played with Infamous, Five Co-Ed, with Jeff, Carolyn, all them. Mm-hmm. And then I played Eight Co-Ed. That was when Waiver Claims first started. That was right after, like I was like, oh, let's travel. We got it. We went Eight Co-Ed here all the time. Went out there, played comp. Yeah, that was cool. Then I just, everything kind of happened from there and took off. And I played for Norman's League, the WFFN. That was a cool experience. And then I got a random Instagram DM. Hey, do you want to come play in China? And I'm like, okay. and that was just a year ago. So to think it was like 2012 to 2024, I was just locally playing and playing like with my friends or whatever. And then to say now I play internationally. And then as of a week ago, now to say I'm officially on the national team for the Philippines, like crazy story, crazy third. What is it now? 13 years?
13 years. Yeah.
13 years.
I grew up with the sport. It's weird to say. Yeah. I'm old now. And like, people are like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am.
Flag years are different. Yeah. Yeah. Flag years are very different. You got probably another 40 years of playing flag.
Are they going to have that or is it going to be capped at like 45 and over?
I don't know. Like,
How far can we push it?
I mean, I think like, I mean, so all jokes, like slow pitch softball has an 80 and up.
Okay. And they're running.
We could do it. You know, Pat,
we could adjust. We could adjust the rules.
Exactly. I think, you know, Pat Alley's about 5 years away from that. So we could, you know, we could go ahead and make a division for him. Chris is honestly, like another 4 years behind him. Like,
I know that you guys, obviously, when you're reffing the games, you're watching 35 over.
Oh, yeah.
But there are some 35 year olds that shouldn't probably be playing 35 yet.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I know.
So you can't have that 10-year jump to go 35 right. And then 45. There's got to be something mm-hmm. in the middle. And honestly, I'd be okay with like a 30 and up and then cap it at 35. That 30-35 range, there's a lot of good players there.
There's still like 35. Like,
but I don't want to chase 40. High schoolers. I don't want to chase college girls. Well, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that's a big
deal. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, but what is that age division, 30 to 35? Like, that's like prime for flag football. I mean,
yeah, but then you've got younger kids now playing with the adults, right? You're mixing in those college girls. You're mixing in some of the really good high school girls. If you're going to be at Weekend Warriors this weekend, I know I'm not supposed to say that.
We don't know who that is.
I never heard of it. Yeah, cool,
Hannah, like, I'm bringing up one of my high school girls. Like, yeah, she plays awesome with me and Trey. So it's like, there are sometimes I don't want to chase those little girls around. Like, I don't want to do that every single format. And so if there was like a 30 to 35 and those are really competitive games still, right? Because like you said, we're in our prime. And I just think 35, like, I want to play with some, I still play with those people. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why can't I have mine with my group?
So really what you want is like 22 and under not allowed to play with adults. That's what you want.
Not allowed. But give me a break so I can like ease it.
Look, Joe and I are both like in that, we're right there in that age gap right now where we're just a little bit older than everybody else, like the young kids that are playing, but we're not quite old enough to play in 35 and up yet.
Yeah.
So that's the reason we want the
over something over right range. In between.
We need the middle range.
It's like a good pace,
right?
Yeah. Not gonna be too fast. It's not gonna be too slow. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the 35 and over crew is slow because that format, they're smarter. They're playing smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
One of my favorite is the over 35 contact to watch.
Yeah.
Because those teams are pure gold.
Yeah.
And they're looking to hit. Like they're like,
oh,
okay,
absolutely. They're going back to the USFTL days.
Have you guys been watching, I don't know, is it like 45U, like the tackle or 37U tackle 37 on YouTube?
Yeah.
On YouTube? That's one of the things.
Here and there, but it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's one of them. So there's a difference. If people try and say like it's the same level, no. Ours is still entertaining, and I think would be entertaining.
That's borderline ridiculous. Like anybody's going out there for 37.
Like you think people for flag don't like warm up? Those guys are not warm up.
No. They look like me walking out there.
No.
Yeah, see, Joe, and I'm in this weird window where, like, I mean, I haven't played in a few years now, but I'm 40 years old. Now, I know that I can't compete in the 35 and up, like, even if I wanted to play contact in that. I'm not fast enough. I'm not good enough for that. But I got to wait another 5 years before I'm eligible for 45. Yeah, like,
so then your only option is to come play with the younger crowd.
And I'm not doing
that.
Now
I'm stressed out, and now it's not.
Yeah. I'm telling, and I don't know, Jacob, how old is Detroit?
I don't think he's 30 yet.
That's what I was going to say. So
I don't know. No, he is older. He's 35. He's at least 35. Okay. He was playing 35 and up a couple years ago.
I forgot that. The last Tampa I played in, we played against Bex, and I mean, my ACL was already gone, so I had a big brace on. And Detroit lined up in front of me. I was on the O-line. And I literally looked at him and saw how fast he had been playing the entire game. And I stepped right out of the way and let my quarterback get sacked. And I went into the huddle, and I was like, look, bro. I'm sorry. I'm not doing any good for this team anymore. I think this is my last tournament. I retired in the huddle at that moment. So Joe, just like you said, you've grown up in this game. So what has stuck out to you in the last 13 years as like the biggest growth, like the things that you didn't expect to happen 13 years ago in flag football?
Well, to give you like just a comparison of scale of like what it is now to what it was when I first started playing, this was a one-day tournament that we were waking up for 10 weeks from the start of the semester in the fall till sometime in November, whenever the clubs with all the schools decided, this weekend it's going to be it. It was our Turkey Bowl, and like, it was our Super Bowl. We trained for that. Like, that was one day. Like, we're playing like back then I thought 7 games was obnoxious and was crazy. Oh, he dropped off. Is he still there?
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. I'll add him back. You go ahead.
But like, that was our Super Bowl, and like 7 games used to be unthinkable to play in. And then now 7 games is one format. What's next? And like, I remember when I went to ECN, 3-4 years ago, I remember counting, I played 14 pool play games in one day.
Yeah.
And like, granted, I was obviously overlapping, don't tell, but like, I played a lot. And even then I was like, what's next? Let's go for the next day. Like, when's bracket play? Welcome back, Jacob.
This is my first time doing a podcast. You know, apparently my Wi-Fi is not Wi-Fi.
You be the guest next time.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but yeah, like the scale, I never even thought tournaments would be 3 days. Now I'm having to leave. Thank you, by the way. Having to leave on a Tuesday morning to make it there for, like, do you, like, it's crazy to think. And then to even go an extra layer, like the opportunities that the girls have now to play in college. Yeah, I was playing in college, but it was a recreational sport.
Right.
Like, I had to pay for my, well, obviously, like, you still pay for uniforms, right? Whatever. But, like, you're paying to play. Now someone's paying you to actually play. Does that, like, that's insane to think about. And then just from a personal growth standpoint, to think I'm going overseas to compete, to possibly play in Germany the following year. So there's, like, more to come. Insane. It's mind-blowing. I never thought that this would happen. I thought, like, oh, NRSA was, like, my biggest dream. And, yeah, like, not to mention, like, we, my shout out the Lady Terps of College Park, like, we built a dynasty there. We won 5 years in a row. Like, we, that was our thing. Like, we loved contact. I was, came from a rugby background, right? So, like,
right,
I was perfect. Okay, Joe, you're going to play fullback. And I'm like, what's that? They're like, just run this way and hit this girl. Okay. And then to the point now that now I'm coaching these things, like coaching these girls, and I'm explaining to them like all these different schemes, like the game has grown. It's not just a variation. It's not just powder puff. Like, I like to think we are taken seriously in our little world, right? But it's clearly spreading everywhere. Like, yeah, it's crazy. In a week, in two weeks, I'll be playing against Japan, Thailand, China, Indonesia. Like, I'm going to be playing against other girls who want to do this. Yeah, that's awesome. Let's keep going. Sure. What's next?
So let's talk a little bit about that process. Like, so you're with the Philippines, you're on the national Philippines team now.
Yes.
So
Team Aguila.
Aguila.
No, not not Aguilar, like not Christina. A-G-I-L-A, Aguila.
Aguila.
Yes.
That's the team name?
That's the team name.
So it's Aguila Pilipinas, which means, like, well, Pilipinas is obviously Philippines. And then Aguila is, like, our mascot is, like, a bird. It's on Instagram.
Okay. Bird. So what was that process for you like? Was that something they recruited you? You reached out to them? Like, how did that go for you to get connected through all that?
Well, first of all, it was a very quick process because it was literally like they dropped a post and said, hey, open applications. If you're interested, just submit this Google Doc. I'm like, it can't be that simple. What? And mind you, this was after I played for a team that represented the Philippines, but was not the national team.
Yeah.
It was a group of native Filipinas over there. And so I did that in November of 2024 in Malaysia. So that was my like introduction to international competition. Yeah. I think I did great. We did play the national team, or the players who were on the national team at the time, who now are some of my teammates and really good friends of mine, but it was dealt to us when they played us. Like I made it a point to make sure they knew who I was because I was called an import.
We're not calling names like that. That's not cool, but okay.
But that's what it's called like overseas. It's not derogatory. Like you're an import.
Yeah.
They imported you to play with them, right?
Oh,
that's
okay.
Just what they're called. And so like that was that. And I did make, you know, I made friends with them. Cool. Like now you see how I am. I made a name for myself on the field. You know what kind of player I am. Now this is me off the field. I can be friendly because I really am. And Jacob and Ant, I hope you can attest to that. and so
we're not talking about Gatlinburg, right? We don't want to talk about Gatlinburg.
You see how I just like wipe it out? Two separate people. I don't think people get that. I don't think we'll talk about
it. It's a switch. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Yeah. But yeah, so that process, that like jump started it because now they knew who I was. And my dad was with me. He shared that memory with me. So they obviously knew I had like Filipino blood. So they're like, okay, this is working. So then they post it. And then like my friend sends it to me. She's like, hey, did you see this? I'm like, yeah. It was Jack actually. Which he's been a really big supporter through this whole process. But yeah, Jack sent it to me. I filled it out, having no real expectations because I don't live there. And nor do I have the financial means to go there, right? I am looking for sponsors. Am I allowed to put that in there if you'd like to?
Absolutely. We'll get you carried out. Yeah. Right, we'll do a whole thing for you.
Yeah.
You.
But yes, I got an email, was like, hey, you made it to the next round. I'm like, okay, what's next? And we get put into this big Facebook chat. Philippines real big on Facebook chats, by the way. We get put into this Facebook chat. There's like 160 names. I'm like, holy crap.
That's spam.
Wow.
There's like there's like maybe 6 to 10 Filipino Americans, maybe less than that on the list. And I'm like, what the heck? So I'm nervous, whatever. And then they ask us to submit videos, like, can you do these drills? So it was like 5, 10, 5, like stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Regular combine stuff. Can you do your W drill? Let's see you catch. Let's see you run the route tree. Can you do one-on-one? So I'm sending in these videos and the process just gets delayed. And then they announce like, all right, we're going to make first round of cuts based on that. And then the list gets cut down. And I'm like, oh God. So at this point, I don't really know what's going on. I had already traveled and like met more of the team. So now I'm like creating connections with them. So like feelings are getting involved and now it's becoming a competition when they announce, hey, you have to be here in July. And I'm like, beware, where, beware. And they're like, in the Philippines. I'm like, okay, is this mandatory? That's always my question. Is this mandatory? And they were like, this one is for you because you missed the first tryout session, right? So I was an aspirant and I had sent in my videos in lieu of me being there in person. I couldn't get off work, whatever the reason may be, right?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, July, I have to go. So shout out to Camp Beezy, Cameron Bynum. He hosted this amazing camp. We learned a lot of stuff. In a very short weekend, but then there was a tournament that the Philippines, out of the, I think 20 or so, 30 of us, they made these two teams. Okay. And they mixed everybody. So like you're playing with people you never played with. Obviously I'm not playing with anybody that I know except BTOR. Right, and yeah. So we've never played with each other. We've only ever played against each other maybe like one time. So it's like we're strangers, right? We go and our only loss that weekend was in the championship against which is now the Indonesian national team. So you can only imagine the competition level there, right?
Right.
But I love playing those girls. Nona Batavia, love playing those girls. Tutu is coaching them now. They were good then. They're great now. But I will say I've won twice and I've lost twice against them. So this, we're going to see them hopefully again. Right. But always friendly competition, loving that. But yeah. So we lose that tournament and they're like, okay, we're going to announce in 2 weeks. And I'm like, 2 weeks, got it. 2 weeks knowing Filipino time, a month. Month goes by. Mind you, that happened in July. I just found out in September.
Oh. Wow. There's a two in that. 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes like two something, yeah.
Yeah, two something, right? And so this whole time I've been like, preemptively getting my citizenship. So I am now a national of the Philippines as well. Like I have my passport, like things are happening, yeah. Right. With no real concrete answer until a few days ago when all of you found out that I was on the team. Cause we found out together.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Obviously a few hours prior they let us know, but like the big roster announcement, we didn't know when it was going to drop. And so that was a really cool thing to kind of be a part of. So long story short, the process was long, was intense, involved a lot of travel. And it honestly, it humbled me going back to the Philippines because they saw me in November and then I didn't go back for like July, right? So that's a whole maybe 8, 9 months. The girls that I met in Malaysia to then still remembered me. And they came up to me and they were like, we look at you like we watch your videos. And to hear other people say that outside of the States is the most humbling experience you could ever have. Like for people to recognize you and you don't know them, but all they want to say is like, we learned so much from you. I'm like, me, the person who questions, the refs, the person who yells, like, yeah, no, like it's nice to feel admired and to get your flowers.
Yeah.
And after playing for 13 years, I've had my bouts with flag and be like, I'm not good enough. I don't want to play, blah, 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 blah. So yeah. It's like, to get validation, the process has definitely been worth it. And it feels like it's like a stamp of like confirmation, like, no, Joe, you haven't just been playing for fun. Like, you're actually what everybody has been telling you you are. So that's good.
Yeah. No, for sure. So, I mean, in these 13 years, was that ever like when they started talking about a U.S. national team, when they started talking about the World Games, the Olympics, in the back of your head, were you ever like, what if the Philippines get this? You know, did that ever cross your mind?
No. No. Like, if you know anything about the Philippines, we were colonized by the Spanish, but then have a lot of American influence because we are an American territory, right? So like when you fly into Manila and you go out, it's like billboards. It feels like New York times 10. There's always something going on. There's no space. There's no green areas in the city. So to think of flag football over there, I never even imagined it until my cousin went over there to play basketball. He was a pro basketball player over there. His name's Anigo. He went over there and I thought that was crazy. I'm like, why are you going back to the Philippines? That's weird. And then to play sport, that's even weirder, right? But he was one of the taller Filipinos, so it made sense for him to play basketball. And then he started posting these videos of him playing flag in the city center. And I'm like, where are you in the Philippines? And then that's when it became like, okay, what are you guys doing? And then he connected me and he was like, also really love my cousin for this. He was sending my highlights to some dude in the Philippines being that's like, awesome. You need to pick her up. You need to get her. And then that's how I got in November, how I got that invitation to play with that Philippines team. He said, hey, your cousin reached out. We'd love to have a chat with you if you're interested in playing. And so that was crazy. Aunt, remind me of the question. See, and everyone thinks I'm so intimidated, but I have like my ADD, especially you guys caught me. I live central time, right? So it's 7 o'clock here, right at the end of the weekend. So don't ever say I don't love you guys. But so why did
we love you? That?
Why would I go back to the Philippines? Yes. So he starts posting all this thing. See, right back on track.
There we go.
Yeah. Like a hamster. Yeah. So he sends me this, he like DMs me and I'm like, okay. So I go out there to train. And this is when Trey and I both went out there. I said, I'm not coming unless my boyfriend's coming to play for the men's team. And it worked out because they love Trey. They're best friends now. They talk all the time. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we go out there and my dad's like, what field? Because my dad travels to the Philippines a lot. And so he's out there sharing. He's like, I'll stay so that you know how to get around and you don't speak Tagalog, you understand it, but they're going to take advantage of you, so I'll stay. So we had a chaperone. So I'm telling my dad, like, Dad, it's in BGC, and he's like, there's no field. He's like getting mad at me. And I'm like, I don't know. And then he finally talks to my godmother, and it's this nice turf field, turf field just plopped in the middle of the city. There's fences around it. There's a parking lot back there. You go park, you walk, you wait till the gate opens when it's your time that you reserved it, and you walk in. And I'm like, this is where. So I'm to know that, like, some of my teammates who tried out for the team via video submission, that they were literally on concrete doing these drills.
Wow.
In the dark, because in the Philippines, in some places, you don't have street lights. Like, that's not a thing.
Right.
But they're getting off work, right? And they're like, no, they're dedicated. And so, like, to think of where flag is now in the Philippines, I'm excited to see how far it goes, because, like, Cam Bynum's doing great things with Flag over there with the partnership that he's making with the Flag community. He's hosted Volume 4. That was what I was a part of. So he's hosted 4 tournament camp things there. Like, keep going. Like, bring more athletes to the Philippines out of the Philippines. There are some, please watch when we're in China. There are some dogs on the Philippine team. Okay. Not me. I'm kind of like a puppy. But
yeah,
like,
whatever.
Get out of here.
There we go.
No, I just bark. I literally, okay. Am I wrong or right? When I'm on the field, when the whistle blows, yeah, I can be a little prickly. But in between, in between plays, I'm literally smiling. I'm laughing. I'm making jokes. So when people say, like, you're so intimidating, I'm like, who are you talking about?
If you're a person who is not, I don't want to say easily intimidated, but if you can be intimidated, Joe's going to intimidate you. Joe starts screaming and it doesn't faze me, but that's beside the point.
Look, Val literally says Joe with hearts. If I'm intimidating, there's no way someone's sending a heart
in
the chat.
Everybody says Joe with hearts.
B-Tar says she's a teddy bear, which I am.
Okay, you know what, though? B-Tar is the same exact way. B-Tar is the most intimidating player I've ever met.
B-Tar wears a mask with a skull on it, so that makes sense. I know.
Whoa, that's just a persona, though.
So my bucket hat is a persona, I'm assuming that is.
Yes, it is, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh, guys,
the whole leg tat, yeah, that's a persona. You walk on the field.
I can't wear my bucket hat in China.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
So just get a headband to replace it. So you have
I want to get one of those seismic ones. If anybody's in... Yeah. Oh, see, okay, Belt, stop telling people that.
That's what I'm saying. That's it. No, Belt completely said that. That's the truth right there. And I'm telling you, in Gatlinburg, like, we're in this, we got to talk about it. We're talking about it. Jacob, I'm sorry. We're talking about Gatlinburg. We're doing it.
I
am telling you.
Weekend. For anybody who coaches youth teams, you know the type of stress you are put in with parents there. And then, mind you, this is a new team. They've never played this, their first tournament. They're looking at me like, you know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And so, like, I'm carrying that. I'm trying to be, you know, like a good coach. And then here come the refs. It's always the...
Dang refs, here we go.
You know, I don't want to single you out, Joe. I'm just going to say your coaching staff got a lot of flags that weekend.
Anybody who knows Trey and then me, who would you rather talk to during a game?
My other official.
I don't know, because you know what, Joe? You know, that's an interesting question, because at one point I tried to have a conversation with you, and you were you weren't prickly at that point.
I had already given up. I was like, whatever, we're going to lose anyway. It doesn't matter. So, girls, let's just play. And mind you, me being like, it doesn't matter, we're going to lose anyway. I was like, girls, but we're going to take this down to the wire. And we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good game.
By 1 point to the eventual winners. So, like, I'm not mad at them. And they said, Coach Joe, you and Coach Trey can't both crash out. That's what they said to us. And I said, I promise we will do better. And we have. And if you'd like to see us play, follow Watch This Flag Football. The girls get posted on there. We also have a boys team. And then I'm going to share something that hasn't been posted yet, but Coach Trey and I are now coaching 7-on-7 boys with the Tennessee Vultures, which they won one of Cam Newton's big tournaments. So, like, yeah, big thing.
Oh, is it like the high school 7-on-7 pass?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
That's
breaking news.
Breaking news. Yeah. Fun. Because that environment, Jacob, that needs to be the environment at Worlds. Like, there.
Oh, you're talking about the passing league stuff?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like we did a little OT7 stuff. We did.
You did.
It was fun.
I like it.
Yeah. It's definitely different. It's definitely different.
It's like AAU.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But there were, but USA flag is like adult AAU.
it can be
with
that
all
way.
The drama and everything.
Well, wait. So, Joe, are you putting your youth teams? Are they going to play at Worlds this year?
So they have tryouts on Monday.
Okay.
So I'll mind you, Tennessee just got this sanctioned this year. Okay. Last year was a pilot, so it is new. I have maybe a handful of girls that I would bring to Tampa.
Sure.
I don't know if it's going to happen just with the quick turnaround because the most of those girls are in college now. Three of my girls got signed to play at Cumberland University. Awesome. And so it really just depends on like that schedule. But the plan is that you will be seeing more of youth Coach Joe and then adult Joe playing separately. And then hopefully some of the girls are going to get mixed into the adult formats. Is it against the rules, Jacob? Because there was one director, I'm not going to say who, said that I'm not allowed to play in lower divisions. But if I'm playing with my younger girls so that they learn, is that still, I know it's allowed, frowned upon?
I mean, frowned upon and allowed are two very
That's why I'm making that distinction. Is it frowned upon, right? Because I do want to play with them. That would be so cool, right?
Right.
To have the girls that you coach to get them to see, like, there's a switch between coach and player, but then now we can be teammates, and obviously they have to be the right age, right?
Right.
But so if I'm playing, like, five women's non-contact rec.
Yep.
With, like,
wait, can't you put them in U23?
But see, they're not red. They're too green. Yet.
Joe's 24. She can't play with them then.
I wish.
What? Or what about playing co-ed air it out and you play quarterback?
Oh, God. See, co-ed at quarterback is different because people don't realize that boys, especially on a small ball field, their range is definitely more. They can cover sideline to sideline.
No, I'm saying co-ed air it out. Where it's like
it's one-on-one
playground. Yeah, there's only.
I thought. Yeah, it's like playground. Sorry, there's so many formats and different rules and styles. Air it out is air it out youth. Yes.
No.
Which one?
Air it out co-ed. Air it out co-ed. Yeah. It's an adult format.
Yes, but what is it? How many people? Two girls, three guys.
No, it's four girls, one guy.
So it's like playground.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like playground. The only difference is the laterals and pitches.
Is it a guy rush, girl rush? I'm trying to remember. Is it gender rush?
You can have guy rush, guy passer, or you can go all five girls for both.
Okay.
The possibilities here are endless, Joe.
You guys understand how many formats and little nuanced rules that you guys, between all the different tournaments.
Yes. Yep.
And so I apologize. And I always forget.
You're good.
I always forget.
This is why we say you're such a friendly person off the field.
I come to you guys during the game and I ask hey, can you just explain this to me?
Yeah.
And what gets me is when they say, I don't know. One of your refs, can we bring it back to Gatlinburg?
Wait, hold on. Can we lower the finger pointing? Can we? Finger pointing is getting out of
my gears. This really grinds my gears. Listen.
All right, lay it out for me. Lay it out for me.
He threw a holding call.
Okay.
He threw a holding call.
On offense? On defense?
We were on defense. I'm cool with defense. That. If he held, cool. Yep. He just willingly threw it. Not normally you throw it in the direction of whatever, right?
Yeah,
he threw it right in front of him.
Okay.
So I said, what was the call? He said, holding on the defense. I said, cool. Which one was it so I can coach them? He looks. He goes, they're high school girls. They all look the same. But you saw a hold, right? So can you tell me which one held?
So I'll say one thing to that. I'll give one thing to that. Because let me say that I would never use the phrase they all look the same.
Yeah, I got one thing to say also, but you probably say the same thing.
But
so go ahead.
I will say as fast as things move, there's times where I get mixed up with who did it.
It just happened, Jacob.
Joe, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. But he should be able to at least ballpark you. Or
was it this? Was it right here? Was it over there? There was no direction.
Right. Oh, that's the thing. I can tell you where it happened. I should be able to tell you where it happened, so we can figure it out.
This girl was probably in that general area.
But if I see two white jerseys, I may miss that. You know what I mean? If I see two orange jerseys, I may get mixed up.
It's okay.
I hear you. I don't disagree with you.
Also, Joe, if we say the wrong player, aren't you going to be more upset than if we say?
I don't know. At that point, then I'm going to be like, then don't touch. If he's calling you a hold and you're saying you didn't hold, don't touch her. Then that's the most coaching I can do. But if you're not working with me, especially at a youth tournament, like,
give you something. I hear you.
Yeah. Give me something. Yeah. Lie to me just a little bit. Like, like these kids are playing, are paying, right, to be part of this travel team. And granted, Absolutely. It's a nonprofit. So, like, I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart because I love those little girls. Mm-hmm. And I do. I love coaching. And honestly, coaching is the main goal for me. Like, I'm playing because I can still play and I'm pretty good at it. But like coaching, no, I like come alive. Like there are videos of me running up and down the sideline, like a dang video game. Like it's funny. Step to the left. Like it's good. I love it. But anyway, like with refs, I love you guys. Cause obviously like I know it's not that serious. We have work the next day. Like I get it. But obviously like we're paying for a product, right?
Sure.
And there are some, I'm not saying it's all of you. But there's always a few refs that just clearly do not care enough to even pay attention. And that's what gets me all riled up. And then when I visibly see you have given up on the game, you're over all these girls, whatever, you're still getting paid to be there. So be there. Yep. It's like an athlete. You're not going to go to practice and half-ass it.
Yep.
Trey just walked in. You're not gonna half-ass it, right? You're there, so be there. And it goes the same. Yeah. And so, like, when I yell at people, and Lance will always say, Joe yells at me.
That's how Lance sounds. That was uncanny. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah,
I can't wait for you to clip that part.
I know Lance will give me an answer, at least an explanation, and he will stand on it. But if you go back and forth, and you don't know what's the, I'm just like, okay, now I have every basis to yell at you because you have one job to count 1, 2, 3. Tell me it's third down. That's what gets me too. How do you guys not know what down it is?
A lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
You got those little clickers.
Little clickers. Yeah. Like softball.
To get them, I'm sure they can be adapted to
flag. We have down indicators. We do have down indicators.
See? I'm just saying. Go ahead.
No, I'll say this from a ref's perspective. I do think that also, though, that players or coaches on the sideline have a lot of the same reaction from what you just talked about maybe an official missing a down or not necessarily knowing something. The same as when it was a bad call, a call you didn't agree with. I think the reaction is the same. Like, it very much looks the same.
Not necessarily from you.
No, I'm very here.
But from others. You're allowed to have an opinion on whether you agree with what somebody says. Everybody has a different vantage point. Everybody has different angles. Everybody sees things differently. But to your point, and to both of your points, there to me, there's a clear difference in not caring and not understanding the basics and not wanting to understand and just having a brain fart, you know?
If you can stand on that, like when refs have told me, I just missed it, Joe, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Or like, Joe, I'll look for it. Or like, they'll make a call and obviously they can't take it back, right?
Sure.
There are calls you can't take back. And they'll look at me or they'll come to me later and be like, yeah, I fucked that up. Like, my bad.
Yep.
That was on me, right?
We move on in life.
And that's fine. But when it's the refs, and that's what infuriates me the most, when you cannot give me an answer, like, just stand on it, right? Yep. If you're wrong, cool, you're wrong, we can move on. But then there are some that are, like, wrong the whole game and still trying to tell me you're right. And I'm like, huh? 2 + 2 = 4 on this field, and I don't understand why. And I'm not going to name which field, but the Boston tournament. We already know.
Now she's zeroing in. But Joe, do you think you're the majority of players that react in that way of like respecting someone say I got it wrong, or do you think you're the minority?
Are we talking men or female, men or women?
At the end of the day, it's all the same. We're repping everybody. We're repping youth, men, women.
I mean, I obviously can say that everyone has their favorites, right? Like, I would prefer some people in different formats. There are some people who are better in other formats that I will
hate. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think the majority of the flag community, wow, I'm going to get in trouble for this. Oh, God. No, I just can't end up like some other podcast. Those are bad.
You're getting canceled over here. You're good.
No, I would say that I think the majority of people are flag players that have been playing a considerable amount of time, right? Not the people who just started playing. If you've been around and seen the development, I think we can appreciate, we just want somebody who knows the rules.
Sure.
And who's confident in what they're doing.
Sure.
So if you can tell me and explain to me why your ruling was this, what can I say? But if you stutter and you're like, and like now you're saying something out or you're calling it two ways, that's when it's like, dude, you just say you're wrong. Like, just stop trying to make up calls or do this or just say you're wrong and let's move on. Because then we know, because, right, you guys control the game. We can say that.
Referees shouldn't control the game.
Well, that's what it feels like sometimes when I get illegal contact on a flagpole. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to let them run over me?
Oh, yeah, but then you're a DMV player. You want the contact. Like, come on. I've thrown illegal contact on you for pulling the flag. Like, I know that that's what you do.
A bad call is a bad call, but not knowing the rules. Okay, yeah, I agree with that. The referee needs to be held to a higher standard. Yes, thank you. Yes, I agree with that. So yes, the majority of people, we just want you to know your rules. Because like I said, like that's a product we're paying for. I'm expecting that there is a ref who at least knows the minimum. You know the rule book. You're not trying to interpret it in weird ways to make it make sense, right?
I will challenge what you're saying, Joe, in the sense that, and Jacob, correct me if I'm wrong, but I am a ref that I feel very confident in knowing the rule book, and Jacob probably gets more flack about me on fields than a lot of the other refs because I do know the rule book.
I think.
So hold on. Before we go down this lane.
Pay the refs more. Yes. Amen to that. I will pay the refs more if they know, if they take a test. And Jacob, I talked to Unc about this, and I talked to Lance. So there's got to be something in the works to really educate the refs. Like, yes, you guys are doing a million different styles, but I'm not telling you to ref a million different styles. If you sign up for that, you should be held to a standard to know that job. I'm just saying. Boston San Diego refs know it. Been upset when they ask the director to get out. They feel it. Yes, also correct. Sorry, go ahead.
So two things to kind of cover. You heard the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah, then they shouldn't be reffing.
So here's the
why are you doing this? This is all, Joe, I'm sorry. I'm apologizing for my friend. I don't know what this is all about.
I'm just raising my hand.
No, it's because I like to yap. I know. In school, yes, I know. I was that kid.
So can Mark Williams quit saying we like he refs? Only thing he does is smoke cigarettes and complain about how bad everything's going.
That's the DMV life. Like they speak for the entire world.
Okay. So here's the deal. Here's the deal.
We are known for a lot of stuff. Okay.
You know, the thing is like when we have all these tournaments, all these different areas,
Yeah.
We have a lot of officials who do travel well, and we really appreciate it. Try to do right by them. You know, we try to, you know, but we also have several that we don't know that we have to pick up locally that, you know, we go and we say, okay, here's our rule book. Here's this. We try to give them situations. We try to do different things to get their mind working and understanding what we're looking for and what we're expecting. Right.
Okay.
I ref a lot, MF. He's dumb. go smoke another cigarette somewhere. So, you know,
don't tell him that. That should never be an insult.
But you know, the thing is you provide the material and you get, it's kind of like players. You get different levels where you get people who really are focused on what they're doing, really care about their craft, really care about what they're doing. And then you get some who it's completely where they put the face on until you really get there. You really see them. And it's like, okay, well, you plan for, you know, this whole, you know, you plan for this many people, this person right here. What do you do?
Yeah.
Do you make it for the weekend and then not call them back? Do you kick them out right then and there? Can you afford to kick them out right then and there?
Dude, I'll ref Jacob. I don't
know. No, you will not. Stop it.
I've told Krista this, that if there's a format that I will stop playing so I could ref, like if I don't really enjoy it, yeah, I'll come ref.
I
used to ref in the DMV, if everybody wants to keep reading that. I used to ref in the DMV. I'm just saying. But I hear you. And so, can there be a rating system? Can we like, you know, those little cards that we have to sign at the end as captains?
Mm-hmm.
Can there be a card optional, obviously,
mm-hmm.
for us to just give just a rating so that you guys know we're not going to have, we don't have to write complaints now. If people, obviously there's going to be people, let me talk to a manager, right? Obviously those people can come find you like they have been. But if we're able to put like a rating, then you can be like, okay, we should probably never put these people together. There, maybe right. That's the thing. There are certain people that should never be together.
I know.
So, like, I walk up to Fields and I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't play this game.
You know, and the biggest struggle is it's all trial and error, right? You try to figure stuff out. You try to do right. You know, it's never going to be perfect because at the end of the day, at the level we're at, it's just you're seeing like at an international level, you're starting to see it, not necessarily professional, but you're starting to see like a little bit above amateur.
Yeah, but the discrepancy. Between, not even discrepancy, let me not use that word, because they're not. Yeah. They're all, right. I say my opinions about refs, and like, obviously people have seen me, you've experienced it. Like, I do get riled up because I'm passionate about the game. And sure. I think in a game like flag football that I have been so closely attached to, I do care a little bit more than other people about the integrity of how it is called,
sure.
right? And so your point to like international refs, I think mm-hmm. the main difference there is how they call the contact.
Yeah, but so I think that's also the rules though. With
yes,
that.
But it's like when they saying. Came so Olympic yep. in January, mm-hmm. you guys had international refs.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a shock to me because I'm at home, right? So I'm not thinking yeah. Olympics right. rules, yep. Olympic mm-hmm. refs, and I show up and I hear there are certain refs now, right? International refs that you guys have started using that. I met over there is literally like PTSD, Jacob and Ant. Like I walk up to the and I'm like talking to my teammate, da 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 da, and it floats. And I like turn, I'm like, oh, and it's like it's scary because I know, and it's funny that I'm saying this. I apologize to my team in advance, the national team. I said, guys, I apologize for the few flags I'm gonna get for illegal contact on my flagpole.
That's awesome.
I really do not mean to. I'm putting this out there as a disclaimer. I never mean to hurt anybody. I'm already on the ground. My knee is not trying to go into your knee. You ran into me. I was there first. Like
yeah.
Oh, now we're blaming them. Okay. Yeah.
That's how it goes. That's how it works, right? No, but like I will say, yes, I can see that. The refs are getting better. But you know what they say, that one bad apple, that one bad group, it really does spoil it for that. Because can I get put in a request? Can we not get put on the same field all day when you guys make these things? Because to be stuck with the same ref crew that I already might have had some spicy words for in the first game. it doesn't work out well.
So just to be clear, hold on. Just to be clear, it's the refs' fault that you're using spicy words. Is that? I just want to clarify.
Look. See, I can't do this. He goes same field for her all week. I feel like you guys can do that.
It's for everybody.
It's just how the. If you start carouseling stuff and moving stuff around like that,
obviously there's preferences for players because we're experiencing it, right? But from an organizational standpoint, obviously that makes more sense. Yeah.
Right. Look, we understand that I need to clone Lance about 80 times.
Please.
And get rid of every rep that is like me. But I understand how that works. But it's a work in progress. I mean, like there's things that we're doing that we don't exactly scream to the public because it's not necessarily public knowledge, but you and everybody online, but everybody's going to go back and watch. But no, there are things like that. I think the players see stuff and they see it for that 24 minutes. We see stuff all weekend. And it's, it becomes more glaring for us as directors and stuff like that. I have sheets and sheets and sheets of notes on people and of how things go. So it doesn't go unnoticed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get that. So I obviously understand that you guys are always trying to improve it.
Yeah.
And it takes time to trickle down.
Absolutely.
Yes. So I guess it's like a patient waiting game.
That's right.
But I'm still gonna voice my frustration, obviously.
Absolutely. You guys
why not?
I'm gonna say pause first, but let me have it.
Yeah. I appreciate that. There are times that Jacob has driven by me and he's like, "What's wrong?" And I just let it out. Because there are certain things that are just not okay and
absolutely
obvious to me, right? Whatever. Right. I'm just another face in the crowd.
but no, you're not. And I think people miss that. Like there's legitimate ways to express concerns and get your point across besides just saying the ref cheated.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Hold on, you hear my dog?
I do hear your dog.
Hold on, let me close my door.
But we can talk a little bit more about this, but I think the biggest thing people either they don't know how to express or they don't know what they're talking about. Not talking about you, Jim. Yeah. But
it's the level, do you hear it more as you change in divisions levels, or is it certain styles that are more yappy? Is it
if there's 32 teams in a division, there's 31 yappers.
I was hoping that you would say the opposite. I was hoping that you'd say this group, how they say, the senior class is so bad.
No. Honestly, there's a lot of folks who can take accountability. There's a lot of folks who can't take accountability and have to just say, well, the refs cheated. Well, what happened? Nah, they're bad. Okay, well, why? Tell me what they did wrong. How did they mess up? Nah, they don't know they don't know the rules. Okay, cool. What rule did they mess up? What do they not know? Nah, they just don't know. Okay, that tells me nothing.
Nope. Okay, everybody take notes, okay? When I go to Jacob or when I go to Unc or when I go to Ant, especially when I go to Lance, I know down in distance. I know the time on the clock.
give me details. Tell me a story. Tell me what happened, because then I'm gonna take that story and I'm gonna try to tell you this is what the correct situation should have been. This is what their perception could have been.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna say, you know what, they got it wrong.
That Or those are my favorite conversations.
Or they got it right. You know, however, you know, whatever I'll have a conversation, but you have to be willing to have an actual conversation. Oh, it can't just be, they cheated.
There are times where I've been wrong, and I'm like,
everybody is, I'm wrong.
Okay. But then there are other times where I go, and Lance is like my auto spell check, okay? My ref check. I will literally run to Lance, and he knows, he's like, what? She's like, she's here. And then I'm like, Lance, I have a question. And that's how I start. He's like, okay. And I like having those conversations, because then I think that's how you learn, right?
Absolutely.
Because you guys have obviously seen way more games than I've played.
I think we're getting about even.
Or you see more, you see different situations, because like, I'm not playing men's. Sure. I'm not playing, like, so you see the game a little differently. And then I think as a player, it's my responsibility also to still be a student of the game if I'm going to continue playing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so to your point, I think people should be okay having conversations with refs. Yeah. But I will also say refs shouldn't be so snippy if they don't want to talk to us.
Yep. I agree.
And there's also, and I brought this up with Mr. Tambo when he was on our show, right? We also have a clock to manage. So we can't just stop and have conversations every 35 seconds with every person on the sideline, even the ones that are drinking and don't know anything about the rules. Like, we can't do that. And so there are times when we have to just be like, nope, sorry, we're focused on the game here.
That's what Ant's saying. Don't come talk to me. Come find Jacob.
Just go ahead and stop. I'll put my sandwich down for a minute. You know, everything else is, you know, just cool and relaxing, and we'll talk. But no, really, I mean, like that is like, you know, it gets to a point where it's not, you should, an official should be able to answer a question for you. Doesn't mean they need to have a lengthy conversation
just
in the game.
Just answer me, dude. Yeah.
But answer the question. Hey, even if the answer is, let's talk at halftime. Let's talk at the end of the game, after the game.
Right.
I'll explain it.
Thank you. That does wonders for my anxiety, for you to acknowledge me and to say we're going to talk about it. Yeah.
I think part of the problem is, and this is where, you know, people, it's people. Would take away the officiating, take away the players. Players tend to be much more confrontational because we're playing a confrontational sport.
Yeah.
Fair point. Yeah. Officials, it's a mixed bag. You have some that are very confrontational and have no issues with confrontation, and you have some who very much struggle when it comes to confrontation.
They just want to ref the game and they count their 7 yards off, and that's it.
Yep, call what they see and keep on moving. They don't want to have to talk about it.
The one,
and that's the struggle.
Yeah, and so like for that, do you pair them with other people? Can you? Are we able to mix them? Like once the day starts, you're like, oh, this is not okay.
That's fair. The goal. That's the goal, is to try
so
to have
just
a vocal
not like
person.
Stuck there.
Right.
Yeah, but then, you know, but then the divas in the pro division want all the best refs together. And
well, now
and
it's
what
on
happens?
TV, so now we need it to be good.
Hey, we had two great crews for the CBS game.
CBS was good.
How did you, can I ask, how did you guys pick?
How did I pick? Well,
because obviously that's a big opportunity for everybody.
Absolutely. So this year's going to be a little bit different. I think I don't want to spill any beans about that, but I'll talk about last year. So last year I sat down, one crew was selected. I basically selected two crews. I wanted to give as many opportunities as I could, right? I didn't want one crew just knocking both games out. One crew, gender had nothing to do with it. But I had the one crew that had worked together for years and done televised games before. I had them do the women's game, and they went and did contact immediately after. There was a time thing for them to do that game first. The men's game, I went through and basically asked, you know, went to some of the other directors, asked opinions on who was doing well. Lance was a no-brainer. Lance is our head official. So he was obviously going to have, you know, be on the crew, and he had a lot of say so. Not throwing under the bus, but he, you know, his opinion mattered to me.
Yeah.
And we talked about several folks, and we just, it was never a, it was never a who couldn't do it. It was a what's going to be best for that game. And I think we picked the best crew. So this year, I'm pretty excited for how things are going to be with that in mind. And we'll, you know, we'll see what we end up with.
It's going to be exciting.
It is going to be exciting.
Yeah. So, Joe, unless you have any more soapbox things you want to say about terrible refs or anything,
no,
I want to throw you on.
I will end it. I do love I love the refs that I've met throughout the years, internationally, locally, everywhere. You guys do keep the game going, and I appreciate it. It's a thankless job, obviously. I know that.
Yeah.
So I apologize for my past transgressions.
You're honestly, you aren't the problem at all. No. Your spicy busy. Words are not that bad.
Your spicy words are like when
it's like a little know, like it's like a gnat, and then I go away. I just need to get it out.
It's like when the kids say mayonnaise is spicy. It's not really that.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I want to put you on the hot seat, Joe, just for a second. Can we do that?
Yes.
Just rap. We haven't done this for a while, but I think you deserve it a little bit. Rapid fire question.
Yeah, I gotta get ready. Okay, what are the questions about?
Flag football usually is what they're about.
Making sure. No, like rules? Are we talking about rules? Are we talking?
I should throw a rule in there.
No. Scenario, pop quiz.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's see if you would be a good player rep. No, okay. So we're gonna start off slow, okay? All right. What is your favorite women's format here, you know, nationally played?
Oh yeah, definitely five women's non-contact.
Okay. What format is missing in women's flag football? Mm. Besides the 30-35, don't say that. Something else.
Honestly, I think this would be with the receivers and the DBs that you're starting to see, like, really perfect their craft. I would love to see force in women's. Would I be playing? Absolutely. That's straight man. I would love to watch it, like, to see some of the best of the best, because you can't hide in force. No way. Yeah. But there's so much more space. That would be crazy to watch. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Specific player, who's your biggest rival in women's flag football?
I don't think I have one. I think I've played. No, literally, hear me out. I played with so many this different teams.
This is not what a hot
seat is. God, this is the cold seat.
Who do
seat.
I go at it with? Okay.
Got some cold cuss.
Who do I see a lot? Who do I guard a lot?
Cuss. Hey. I don't know. You tell us.
Oh my gosh, Lily, fucking Lily Rommel.
Fucking Lily. Fucking Lily.
She, no, there but she is. Knows that she, like, I yelled this when I saw her at Weekend Warrior Worlds. She was on, like, the other field. I was like, there's my favorite player because she's a dog. Yeah. Right? And I played with her with BOB. That was short lived, but it was awesome to see her play there. And then she popped up again, and then I had to guard her. She's playing with 843 Elite. And here I am. They're like, Joe. Go play man on Lily, and I'm like, and I'm like, there's nobody else, guys. There's nobody else. and so, like,
okay,
I would guess you could say that's my rival, Abby, running right. against Abby. No, Chris Miller. That's my biggest rival. Chris, the quarterback, and me playing defense. It's like a mind game. Like, we've played each other so many times. We played on the same team, like. It's fun playing against Chris Miller.
Yeah. Okay. Who's your most favorite teammate?
There's a lot. My most favorite teammate.
Only one. Do not give us more than one. Can't do it. Got to be the most favorite.
What is the criteria for, like, favorite?
Just whatever you decide. What's what? You
it's like a level.
Yeah. Don't tell us the criteria. We want to know who your most favorite is.
Right. Because then that's when people start coming back to you.
I know people are going to be like, what about me? What about me? Oh, gosh, that's hard.
I think there's only one answer, but I could be wrong.
Wait, you want me to think to be Crutcher? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That is not. No. No.
Hey, everybody. Please, Joe.
Joe, look, Rich is saying hush for me. No, I would probably have to say my best teammate. Who do I play with all the time? Oh, my God. That, this is a cop-out because I can't pick. Paige Amanda Vong. She is my favorite teammate. She, I, if you follow me on TikTok or Instagram, I posted a post of her when I made the national team. She was my teammate for a really long time. And she passed away the year before I went to PCB. And so that season, I was dedicated to her. That's my favorite player. Boom.
Well, that's not a cop out. That's pretty dope.
No, that's a great answer. Okay, so what rule in flag football do you hate the most?
Illegal contact.
No. I love playing non-contact, but fucking illegal contact.
No. Because okay, let's be real. Like, flag football is not a non-contact sport. There is contact. I will say impeding the rush. That's my least favorite rule because it's interpreted so many different ways. It's called so many different ways, but it controls so much of the game.
Absolutely.
And so it's a hard rule to understand. It's a hard rule to play with. But when you figure it out as a rusher, when you figure it out as a center, or like if your offense likes to run bunch, it opens up the playbook offensively and defensively. Knowing how to play that. And then like the impeding call in IFAF that they can run through the
shielding. Yep.
I just stand like, I don't know what to do anymore. Yeah, definitely.
All right, so there's three spots coming out of the Asia's October 24th, 26th. Which three countries for the women's are qualifying for Dusseldorf?
Oh, I'm going to be there.
First of all, Dusseldorf is one word, and not two.
Philippines.
Dusseldorf.
Okay, so Philippines. Who else we got?
Nona Batavia, Indonesia is going to be there. Tutu and Windra doing great things with them. Those are my girls. I don't know. So, like, I've played against different variations of, like, Malaysia, Thailand, Japan. I've played with the China girls. I got to play in China against a bunch of, like, the best of the best there. So, I don't know what rosters they're coming with. So it depends on who's there, right? And guys, this is actually my favorite topic to talk about. I love talking flag. I'm a film nerd. So I'm going to say, based on what I've heard through the grapevine, right? I think it's going to be close between China and Japan.
So who wins? No cop outs. No cop outs here. Who wins? And I need a score.
Don't do that because no.
Nope. Yep.
No. Actually, because this is a weird. Hold on. This is a weird thing about this tournament. So essentially, what happens is the Asian champion plays the OSHA champion. Okay. So who is that? Who are you saying it's going to be?
Oceania has who? They have New Zealand, Australia.
Yep.
And there's one more.
America's small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So my friends over there said that who I thought were on the team are no longer on the team. And they were very good. Okay. So I don't know what's really coming out of Australia. But the scheme that they play works for them. So they could be really competitive there. I've only seen New Zealand play one time on film. It was when they had like the early days. So I don't know. I'm going to say Australia's. I've never seen America Samoa come out. But if it's anything from what I like the other sports that country is known for, they're going to be pretty athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going to have size. And like, I'm not very big. I'm very petite. So like.
Petite. Fun word of the night.
So I'm going to say Australia is going to come out of that one. Okay. Just because they're like, I think from what I know, right, this is my perspective. They're the most veteran org coming out of that group. I think they're going to come out on top of that. I think Indonesia is in a harder, more competitive pool because they've got more experience in that pool across the board. But I think Indonesia is going to pull that one out. And then
okay.
Japan. And then obviously.
So wait a minute. So
You whispered that.
Hold on.
You said Japan. And what's the score between them and China?
You with the Philippines have to
back and forth because China has a like. If I think it's the right quarterback, she's really good. That team is very good. Is it the team?
China's got Pat Alley as their coach. Why is this even a conversation at this point?
I did forget.
Oh man,
That is a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
But it's about execution, right? It's about execution.
They put 43 points on Austria.
You have to take that into it's also about experience. It's also about, can they show up on the big stage?
Didn't the Chinese team beat Japan at the World Games?
Correct. But is it the same team?
Yeah.
Hmm. They
can't change right now.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. I'm gonna say China. China.
Okay.
Say China. All right. What's the score? 3-2-1 go.
31-24.
Wow, okay. All right.
They've got such creative offenses with all the motions, the dropbacks, this, that. And they're tiny. People forget about that. When we're tiny, we're like.
Can you do that one more time for the effects? Thank you. Add that to the effect board.
Yeah. Joe, what's your favorite midnight snack?
Ice cream.
Okay, which kind?
So I'm an old lady and I like pistachio. I love ice cream. I've always loved ice cream. It's been a comfort food. So whenever I travel, even to like flag tournaments, I find like a ice cream shop. I try to at least like sometimes there's nothing except McDonald's, but I will try and find like a mom and pop, like a hole in the wall ice cream.
That's awesome.
And I will try that pistachio flavor. So like sometimes you can taste it's artificial or like they use real pistachios or stuff like that. Fun fact.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. Let's get into it. I gave you a little reprieve there. Now I really need to know which six teams are making the Olympics for men's and women.
All right. I'm gonna bail you out on this one. Just women's.
Yeah. Okay, men's. Bye. To be honest, I'm not really paying attention to the men's side because.
All right. Just women. Jacob's nice.
Obviously Team USA.
Okay.
Yeah.
One.
Mexico. Wait, are we doing, did they decide, can I ask a clarifying question? Did they decide if they're doing like regional or can I pick from wherever?
You can pick from wherever because we don't know how they're
going. We don't know how it's going to land. So you make your say.
Mexico, USA. I have so much faith in that team. I think Indonesia is going to come out the gate swinging. Like they have some great coaches. They're building great stuff over there. And like, I want those girls to do so well. I think they're going to sneak in, honestly. And then I always get these teams mixed up because they're all like the same colors. I really like France because I've played with Lucy and all them.
Okay.
And like, I think they're super solid. I love the quarter, their quarter. Like, that's a really solid team. And I know they came in second, third.
Third.
In Euros. Yeah.
Nope. No, they lost to Spain in the bronze. So they got fourth.
Okay. Yeah. So they were going for bronze. But I think that like they have time. I think they're going to pull that out. So that's what, four?
Mm hmm.
Yep.
U.S., Mexico, Indonesia, France.
Obviously, I'm going to say me.
Philippines, okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah, why not?
Obviously. Okay. And then that last spot. That's rough. Why you guys do this?
Who's number six?
There's so many good teams coming out. Just because I know something you guys don't know.
Well, we're going to find out once you tell us. So go ahead. Who is it?
I'm going to say Italy.
Yes.
Who's going to play for him?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk afterwards.
I love it. I love that pick.
Can't tell you
I think
that.
That's great.
I think, but honestly, whatever six, right? I think six is entirely too little of spots in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't represent
you let half of the team medal.
It does not represent flag and where we are and what we're doing. Six is like if there were like only 10 countries playing.
Right.
Yeah.
Six is like if we just started last couple years ago. But no, like 13 years and you can only give it like and there are people who played before me who are still playing. And you're only giving six spots, like that's insane. And then now the NFL is saying they're having a pro league, like six spots, crazy. But yeah,
you got to start somewhere, though. That's the way I'm.
I hear you. So it's like be happy where we're starting, right? This is obviously just a stepping stone, but
it is tough. Very tough. I think to fairly pick a good field for this.
Yeah, because when you're like, go ahead.
I was gonna say you want to represent the whole world, right? You don't want to just hone in on the Americas. You don't want to. I mean, really, you could go just Americas. You could go just Europe. I mean, there's so many different ways you could do it. I do agree. Like it's a tough.
It's a tough draw. Number. And then like
from
the business standpoint, because we have to get that viewership for it to grow. Yeah, you want to pick the best of the best.
Yeah,
but it's rough and like. Yes, I say me because I'm hopeful and like I'm prideful of my country and I love my team of course. I'm very confident.
Absolutely.
But like I joke with my dad and I'm like, Dad, we are far behind. The Philippines is far behind.
Sure.
When you compare us to a Mexico, when you compare us to a USA, right? Mm-hmm. Even to the more established like Euro teams, even to the Indonesian team, we are behind a little bit. But we are resilient people. We are determined people. And if I can be a testament to say like this 5'130" size girl, I can run with the best of them. Like I can run with the big people, the tall people, it doesn't matter. And so for there to tell me like, oh, there's only six spots, do I think that we're gonna get one of those spots? No. I am realistic in that sense, right? But do I think that the six spots do the sport justice? Absolutely not.
Not yet. No. I agree.
Absolutely not. Because there's so much talent, especially now that a lot of Americans who have that blood, who can go get their citizenship, are now willing to go travel and play other places. The sport's only going to get better, and those countries are only going to become more competitive.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's interesting because, of course, we come from, like, we live and breathe flag football 24/7. So for us, like, this world is ever-expanding, and, like, it's so huge and it's the most important thing going on and all of that. But if you look at like, I mean, just even the World Games. So the first time the World Games, they had men's and women's and they didn't bring men's back into the World Games.
Yeah.
And so
is that like something that they're thinking about bringing back?
Yeah. I think that was just because they were in China. I don't think at the time, I could be wrong. I don't think the Chinese men's team was established just yet.
Yeah.
I know they are now, but when they announced that, I think it was just the women's team.
So, yeah, you know, and I know, though, that, like, the World Games is kind of – it's the mini version of the Olympics because there's so many sports going on, and if you want to try out a sport, you get it into the World Games first and see how it goes. But that – I mean, ultimately, like, World Games, but now Olympics, they have – all of these sports to think about, and they're sports that have been around since the 1800s when the Olympics first started that are not going anywhere, you know, boxing, wrestling, track and field, those things, and swimming, they take up the majority of the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And so whenever they bring in a new sport, they kind of like, well, flag football, you know, it's not, you can't compare it to breakdancing. Breakdancing had a little stage. They could have thrown that sport anywhere. And so it didn't matter how many countries they had. They only needed this little stage to run that sport to try. They gave it a shot and then they threw it out the window. But flag football needs a field and for an extended period of time to have those games. So
is that the argument that it's because it was easier for breakdancing to be a trial, right? To be like, here's a stage. But it's like, okay, can we flip the narrative? And now it's like, well, doesn't the growth of girls flag football demand that?
You would think.
Does the Olympic Committee see that growth?
I mean, you can see it now, right?
We can. Yes, I agree. We can. And I think we amplify it more than somebody who's not a part of it, right?
Yeah,
I think that's the big difference there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's like it's frustrating, but it's also it's okay because they're gonna know at some point it's gonna happen. It's just a matter of when. But yeah,
No, for sure. Okay, Joe, you're off the hot seat. I do want to give you an opportunity. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I mean, you tried to
dance and shimmy and
because some of those how am I supposed to answer favorite player? That's the hardest thing. I literally play with every team. I have two bins of jerseys.
Ask me who my favorite ref is to ref with right now.
Lance.
No, it's Jacob.
Jacob never refs.
Oh, that's not true. We reffed in Philadelphia together. It was a blast. Not true. I love it.
True. See, that hurts right here in my sternum.
Oh, stop.
So, Joe, I want to give you the opportunity to just be able to plug, your sponsors. You know, this is a big campaign. Like you said, there comes with costs, and so I definitely want to give you the opportunity to kind of talk about that.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I do want to take the time to really highlight, outside of my personal accomplishments, our nonprofit, Vision Athletics, that is what we're focused on right now. Like, my dream is that is a full-functioning, owned business, right? And so Vision Athletics is a 501c3 down here in Tennessee. We focus on skill development, obviously focused on flag football, but we train also just like generic speed and agility. We have a couple clients who are focused on more on tackle than they are flag, right? But then we're also character building and then building safe spaces for athletes. I grew up an athlete all my life. I played three sports all through like growing up, everything like that. And obviously you guys see me now, but I've also been someone who has dealt with mental health issues and challenges. And I still do to this day, right? It's a big part of my game prep. It's a big part of just me, my everyday. And so with the nonprofit, what we're trying to do is build spaces dedicated to flag football. I don't mean, oh yeah, you guys can have the locker room. Oh, you guys can have the field from this time to this time, and then we have to use cones to. No, I want a field dedicated that I can have a sevens field and a fives field, right? Because sevens is what they're playing in college and in high school, right? And then fives is what you're playing when you want to go far and go travel and do what I'm doing, right? It's also a place where, like, I grew up in what was called the Gaithersburg Youth Club, GYC. I was a city kid. I lived in Gaithersburg. I grew up there. I worked for the city. Like, that community center was my safe place after school, after my games. People were, like, it kept me out of trouble. Like, yeah, I didn't grow up in a bad neighborhood, but my parents knew where I was. Like, that's what I want to give back to the flag community, because it's given me so much. So Vision Athletics on Instagram. And then our links are all there for like how to donate to the nonprofit. A lot of our, well, the school that we're out of is a Title I school. So a lot of the kids don't have the money to come to the clinics or the camps. So that's where your support really comes in, because then we're able to supplement, right, and give out kind of like scholarships. I really hone in on the fact with my athletes that it's student athletes. Student athletes, right? You don't have the grades. No, I cannot pull out that scholarship fund and be like, yeah, we can pay for your training this month. No, you need to focus on school. So it's really building that space of support for these, not only girls, but athletes all together, right? And then on top of that, obviously my story of how I got into flag and what I'm doing now is really based and centered around my support and my community. If you look through my Facebook or my Instagram and you look at those team photos, I play with the same people, different variations. I've been with the same people. And what's even better about my story, the people I used to play with, my teammates, are now my national team coaches, because I was like, we need coaches. I've got two people who can get the job done. So to now be able to play for my used to be teammates and then my player coaches and then back to teammates, and then now, like, they're my coaches for the national team. What? That's crazy. So yeah. Community support of like helping me get over to the Philippines, it does take a lot of money, right? But with like donations and things like that, I'm able to do it. And it helps supplement like my food when I'm at the airport. I'm obviously not asking for like $1 million, but like, if you ever watched me play, like, you know, it's not just a game for me, right? Yeah. I don't get riled up just because I like putting on the flags. Like, no, flag football really, and like, it's a joke in my family. Oh, flag football is Joe's personality. It is. Because it's a great, like, it's given me so much. It's opened up so many doors. Like, I get to meet you guys and, like, be on a podcast. I just like to yap. Who knew that you guys would be like, yeah, come talk to us for an hour and a half. but, yeah, there's links all on my Instagram, at That's Joe, J-O-H at the end. You can buy a fan replica jersey. I'll have it back when I bring it back from the Philippines for you, like, I can sign it if that's what you want. That's weird when people ask me that. Can you sign my jersey? I'm like, sign my signature? Like, what I do to, okay.
Yeah, yep. What you put on your bank, when you sign your checks, when you sign your mortgage.
No, they told my brother not to do that. I call my brother for everything. I'm like,
yeah, yeah, definitely change your signature for stuff like that. That's cool though. Like, I mean, like.
No, I was in China, these little kids, they had a camp. The Panthers held a camp for them. And the next day they came to the adult tournament and these little kids are running around. Can you sign my jersey? Can you sign? Because I clearly don't look Chinese. And so they knew we weren't from there. So they're running up to me. No, I'm serious. Like me, Ice, Tachi, Zina, Megan, Barbecue Chicken. Like they're all run. Otto. They love Otto because he's so tall.
Mm-hmm.
Hey man, yeah. I'll sign anything for you guys.
I love Otto. I think that's the best. If there's one thing,
like, he's a great dancer.
What's your favorite part?
Thank you.
My favorite part. Who gets to say I get to travel and play flag with some of my best flag friends? Yeah. Some of my best friends, me and Marley, me and Tati, me and Mo, like Otto. I get to be like, Otto, we were playing in Atlanta for funsies. That's where I met you. And now look at us. Like, that is my favorite part. But honestly, like, I would not be able to do this without my family, my friends, my mom and dad, my brother. You want me to teach you some Tagalog?
Hit us.
Real quick. So nanay.
Yep, hit us.
Nanay.
Nanay.
Nanay is mom.
Mom.
Okay. And then tatay.
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 Dad.
Dad.
And then Kuya, K-U-Y-A.
Kuya.
Kuya is like a sign of respect for like an older brother or like an older cousin. That's a guy. And then Ate.
Say it again.
Ate. A-T-E-H is how it's pronounced.
Ate.
Ate. Okay. Okay. Ate. That's older sister or like an older female that you respect. Not so much your aunt, but like someone a little older than you.
Okay.
So like my family, yeah, definitely got me through. Yeah. But if anybody, I don't have a sponsor. The Philippines national team doesn't have a sponsor either. So if you're looking for an opportunity to support international women's flag or a Philam American flag player that everybody so loves and cherishes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. I've seen the last couple of weeks, guys. Joe has put a few different things up about ways you can donate, ways you can get her to the Philippines, jerseys and stuff like that. Like she was just saying, you know, we can get the, she can bring the jerseys back. She'll autograph them, not with her bank autograph, but with another one.
I got $5, yeah. Jacob. You can use
$5. Hey, it's all good. That $5 will get us a couple of McDoubles. But I mean, no, like absolutely go support Joe if you can. Like she's doing incredible things. So,
yeah. No, absolutely. And I appreciate you, you know, you didn't just give a real short spiel there. You shared your heart. And I always appreciate that. I think, you know, I've shared in previous episodes or whatever. And other officials have said the same thing, like flag football saved my life. It's done wonders for me. It's done wonders for my children. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful to hear other people share what it's done for them as well. So I really appreciate you sharing your heart and your experiences with us tonight. So, it was a good hour and a half of us all yapping for sure.
Absolutely.
No, love to yap. And I promise if anybody's watching this or rewatches it, come and talk to me. Clearly I love to yap. And if you just want to talk about flag, we can go, you tell me what style, what field, I'll go sit next to you and we can watch the game together. Like, I don't know. Maybe we can do a spinoff podcast where you mic me up and I watch a game.
Yapping with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, are you going to be in Arlington?
I'm going to try. Right now, the answer is Trey will be there playing with Mean Machine. We've got three dogs. What do you want me to do? It's hard to find a dog.
It's just, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how many backyard tournaments you play in, but all of a sudden, I don't know.
I can't believe you called backyard. Backyard tournament. No, we're halfway, right? Trey's going, I'm not going. I'm trying to make it work because I want to be there. That's a big tournament. And I have family out in Texas. So like, I'd love to go see them. So if any teams are looking for a player, I'd love to play.
It's a no brainer, guys. Pick her up. There's 240 teams.
I'd love to
play. Yeah, come on.
I have, like, obviously there's some teams that like I'm already taking for styles, but I think that's only two, maybe even one, two styles taken. So like, if you have teams, yeah, interest me to go. I'll go. I'll figure it out.
That's crazy. Absolutely. You would be you'll jump on any team.
I will. Don't let that. I'll play anything. Contact, non-contact, air it out, whatever you want to play.
Great. All right, cool. Well, we appreciate you. And me and Jacob are going to close out the show. So
thank you, Joe. Yep. Good to see you.
Wow, that was better than I expected, and I my bar was set really high for this one.
Yeah, Joe's great.
That was cool.
Joe's great. Like she was saying, guys, get her to the Philippines. Help her out any way you can. She don't know, but Clockstrom's going to send a little something to her. Anything you can do, buy a jersey, send her a little, you know, pocket change to get a burrito at the airport. You know, I'm not sure if they have burritos in China at the airport, but anyways, like help her out, you know, whatever you can do. She gave us a great story. And where can they find us?
Oh, where can they find us? Clocks Running?
Yes, Clocks Running. Where can they find Clocks Running?
This is my moment. Oh man. We're everywhere. We're on Instagram. We've been live for the last hour and a half. Lots of comments. We love the chat. Our social media goes crazy on there with daily content, rankings, what's the call, stupid clips of me throwing Jacob under the bus and you know, twisting people's words because that's what I do. We're on Facebook. We're we're on Threads. We're on X. We're on Snapchat, TikTok. All of that is kind of a continuation of Instagram. Instagram is our mothership for sure. Yep. We are on every possible platform for podcasts. so you can hear all of our episodes. We this is episode 31 of our second season, so you got like 80 plus episodes you can listen to to catch up. Yeah, Pandora, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Doozer. I know there's all kinds of things that we are on. If you want to find us, you will. YouTube is definitely where you can find the re-airing of our live podcast every week. So go into YouTube. So there's some other things in there, but generally it's just our episodes. MySpace is dead, so we're not on MySpace.
We are on MySpace, but anyways.
But tell us about our merch. Tell everybody about our merch, Jacob.
Hey, we got a ton of great stuff. I lied to everybody and said that we were going to have a pretty cool apparel line, like ready to show everybody, and we don't. But we do have some sweet gear. We got T-shirts. We got long-sleeve shirts. We got hoodies. We got shorts. We got joggers. We got everything. So we got ref shirts. We got whatever you need to look great. If you want to look like Ant or me, you know, that's cool. But even better, you're going to have Jordan's ugly mug on you. You know, who wouldn't want that? So,
yeah, there we go. And we have some U.S.-made merch in the works. We're just trying to, you know, figure out how to make it work best. But that'll open up the door for more things like beanies
American
and hats.
Merch.
And other-
we got to have the American merch. Top-notch stuff. Okay? Can't be imported. I put tariffs in place. We're not having the merch come from the tariffs. Anyways, check us out. We got a ton of great stuff. The clock's always running, but tonight the clock has stopped. Toot toot. Appreciate you guys. Have a great night.